I'm Paige.
I'm Frankie.
And this is the Creative as a Mother podcast,
bringing the shit show to you.
Every time somebody says all right, I think about Travis Kelce.
Oh.
He's like, all right now.
I guess I wouldn't know.
I know.
I was going up Matthew McConaughey.
That too.
But when you said all right, you sounded like a true podcast host.
That is the goal.
Yeah. We're on our way.
Okay, what are we talking about today?
I don't know. Do we want to do a mental health check-in?
We can do a mental health check-in.
I posted last night, did you see, what are your favorite things about running your own business and your least favorite things?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
People actually responded to those.
They did. Taxes.
No, fuck that. I'm not the person to talk to when it comes to that.
Me neither, but I've got a great CPA for you.
I mean,
just like general you.
Not, yeah.
You don't have to do it, but I'm just saying. If anyone needs a CPA, I do have a great one.
For next year.
She is, it's a woman owned, and her name's Leslie, and she's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have to say, though, that is something, I don't know. It seems like when you start a business, a lot of people don't prep you for that or like talk about it. You're just kind of like thrown in and.
Yep.
Takes a minute to figure out. I was actually talking to my therapist about this.
Do you have therapy this week?
No, I had therapy. I went back last week.
Good job.
Yeah. I had almost had a mentee bee, as people call it now.
Was it an emergent appointment or a scheduled one?
It was scheduled. She kept like emailing me. She like, because I tend to, when I get really overwhelmed, just like ghost her. Mm-hmm. But she'll still like email me. And she's like, just thinking about you. Just wanted to check in. Like, how you doing? And I'm like, yeah, I need to make an appointment. And then I don't. And then she just so happened to like check in on me on a day that I was like not okay. And I was like, yeah, okay, I really, like, tell me your availability now and let's schedule it. And it was the first time I've cried in therapy.
That means you were being honest?
Yeah.
That's so great.
At least, it's like, scary. Since I scheduled, like, the first time I've ever seen her, because I was pregnant when I first started going to her, and I was crying a lot then, obviously, but since, like, having kids, it was the first time that I was, like, and I wasn't even expecting to. It was literally 2 minutes into the call, I just started, like, bawling my eyes out. And I was like, I don't know why I'm crying. And she's like, it's okay. I'm like, I wasn't expecting this, though. It just, like, hit me.
I'm to the point now where I feel like I didn't do any work in my therapy sessions if I haven't cried.
Because
I just cry a lot during my therapy sessions.
It's good to get it out.
It is. She had me doing this like one thing where I don't even really remember what it was. We do a lot of like visualization. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of that and like talking to little Paige and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so she was like, just pick a version of yourself. And I don't even remember what it was, but it was like, I landed on, I don't remember what we were talking about, but I landed on like 6-year-old me, and she's like, what is she doing? And I told her what she was doing. And then she's like, well, will she let you approach her? And I'm like, yeah, but she's like, why the fuck are you here? Whatever. We were going back and forth about it. And she was like, well, will she let you hug her? And like, I don't even know. It was cool, but it was also like a very bizarre, like, I don't know. It was bizarre.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. It was weird. It made me like sob, and I was like, this is weird because I don't know. This is weird.
Yeah, no, I feel like that'd be hard.
It is hard. But she's like determined to like make me do the hard work.
Yeah. I mean,
she's the kind of therapist that I need because I'm so chatty that I'll just like talk and I'll like get sidetracked and bounced around.
Mm-hmm.
And the therapist I had before her, it was definitely more like friendly conversation.
Yeah.
Like she didn't know how to like keep me on task.
Yeah. That's, I kind of feel like that's how my therapist was, but I think it was my fault.
Yeah.
You know, I think I was kind of just like tiptoeing through it and
for sure.
On the surface of everything. And so I could see her when I started crying that she was like, oh, okay.
I get to
like,
do my job now. Yeah.
Like just the look in her face. I was like, oh God, am I scaring her? Like what? She doesn't see me like this. But it was good.
I had one session. Well, I've posted to social media, so most people like know what's going on in my life, like broadly.
Yeah.
But shortly after shortly after I kicked Zach out of the house, I don't remember if it was the week. I've been on a Wednesday and then I have therapy until Monday, so I don't know if it was that week or maybe it was the week after. I'm fidgeting again. It was like a really emotional session or whatever, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And she, like, I could tell, like, I was making her emotional. She was doing a really good job, like, keeping it in check, but I could tell, like, that she also wanted to cry.
Yeah.
And
I feel like, okay, because my therapist didn't cry, but there was something I was talking about, and it was the first time that I felt like I was, like, she opened up to me about something. So I feel like maybe it's, like, something like that, where it, like, hit something in her, you know?
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that at all more? No.
We can.
It's up to you.
Okay, so if we're going to, like...
For all the nosy bitches.
Yeah, for all the nosy bitches. Okay. Okay, so I am... Tomorrow is 7 weeks of single parenting. Like, not the fake kind where your husband's out of town.
Yeah.
But the real, absolute single parenting. I talked a little bit, I think I did, last summer about how, like, Zach relapsed last summer and spent 2 weeks in rehab. And so I had single parented for 2 weeks over the summer while I was pregnant with Bolt. And, yeah, life was just really rough after that. Like, it was good and then it wasn't good because he had relapsed again. And I didn't know because he's, like, very good at hiding it. And until Christmas and then – thought he was taking steps to like fix because it's not, it's like a lifelong thing, but steps to like heal and whatever, and that just wasn't happening. And I mean, it was happening, but it was more like a going through the motions thing. And he was still doing not great things in secret, and like after I would go to bed or whatever. And so then I kicked his ass out on Valentine's Day. Because the night before was really rough and I just like knew, I was like, okay, like we can't keep living like this. Like this can't keep happening. And I knew from previous experience that drastic things like this, as scary as they are, like they do make things better. So yeah, packed his stuff in the middle of the workday and put it by the front door, carried on with my day, and yeah, that was it. And then he hasn't been home ever. It's rough, but it's fine. I haven't really shared this with anybody except from like my therapist and my friends. I think I've told you. But it's crazy how much our body knows. And I have such a good gut instinct and like such good intuition. But I'm also very – I need like cold hard proof before I act on something. And it's just wild to have him out of the house and – like how different my nervous system feels. Like I'm like finally can like, I'm not on edge all the time. I have more patience with the kids because my body isn't like in like hyper awareness mode for something else. And yeah, I don't know. I just really want my, like, I tell the kids this all the time that our house is like a safe haven mm-hmm. and it is a place for peace and joy and like authenticness. And yeah. like that is so important to me to protect. And it has, like, it can't ever go back to
yeah
how it was before. Cause it was just like, I don't know. It's weird to have someone in your safe space that is also sending off every single alarm bell in every fiber of your being, but you don't with certainty know why.
Right.
Yeah. Just really laid it out there for you guys.
Well, you shared on social media for the first time kind of what was going on.
Yes, because, well, I felt like – and I don't owe anyone an explanation.
No.
And I don't need to tell anybody about it, but I've always felt so passionately – and I – like, Zach and I have had these conversations before too where, like, for a long time I felt like I couldn't talk about things
mm-hmm.
because it's his business, like, and it's his health, but also, like – It is my business and it is my life and 100%. It is something that is happening to me and affecting me and affecting the way that I parent, the way that I like live my life, and just like it affects everything with me. Like it's mine too.
Yeah.
And I can talk about it. And he has encouraged me like multiple times over like many years to talk about it if I feel
mm-hmm.
like I should talk about it.
I remember you talked about it a little bit last year because I remember yeah. you saying that he said like that this is your life, like you should.
Yeah.
You should share it.
But I always, like, I also, like, always want to be respectful. I don't ever want it to feel like, I don't know. I also want to be, like, respectful of him because yeah. it is so much also, like, tied to his life.
Mm-hmm.
And I also don't ever want it to come across as, like, talking shit.
I was just going to say, yeah, that you don't want to, like, trash him.
Yeah, and, no. Like, and, like, I don't feel like anything that I've ever shared does that.
No.
It's always, like, just factual and, like, how it impact or how it's made me feel or impacts me or whatever.
Well, and it's been so relatable for so many
people. Yeah, it has been so relatable for so many people. I actually had somebody who follows me. I think she's local to me. The day that I really was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to, like, open up about this on social media, that the day that I like mentally decided that, she messaged me and was like, hey, I'm really sorry if you don't want to talk about this, but I just have to ask just in case. Like, I remember you posting a while ago that your husband was struggling with alcoholism and how you guys like navigated through that. Unfortunately, like, that's happening in my house right now. Mm-hmm. I'm pregnant with my fourth and like my husband can't stop drinking. And like, we had a really good conversation and it is the reality for so many people, whether you're affected because you're the spouse or you're the child of an addict
mm-hmm.
or you're like even like an uncle or a significant other or a sibling or like whatever. It's such a rampant thing in our society, and it just like, I don't know, it's really sad. And
And I'm sure so many people like in your position or whatever struggle with it alone.
Yes. And like, there's Al-Anon and like resources like that, but that for me has also always felt really intimidating, for one, to like yeah. walk into a group of people, and then for two, where do I have time
right.
to like go yeah. to a meeting? And I don't know, I just want to be an additional resource for people
mm-hmm.
that is a little bit more, that feels a little bit more accessible and like less scary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That took a turn. I was just trying to like give you the nosiness of my life, and then that just took a turn. But yeah, I don't know. I think that people also think about like alcoholics and addicts as like homeless people on the street. And, yeah. like, don't realize that, like, no, these people live, like, full functioning lives.
Right.
And they do mean things to other people. And they are important. And Yeah, I don't know. He's not a bad person. He just, like, he is sick and he's making really bad choices.
Yeah.
And I can love and support him in his sobriety without him directly impacting the energy in my home.
Well,
and,
yeah. I mean, like, it's not fair to you or your
everything
kids.
Else. Yeah. So, yeah.
And him, too.
Right.
You know, he needs to.
Exactly. And when we allow, like, keeping him, like, letting him continue to stay at home, it was enabling him.
Right.
And that's not going to make him better. Like, I firmly, like, things are so bad with, like, every time I say, like, things are so bad, like, there's not, like, abuse or, like, anything like that. I just mean, like, his use was so bad that I firmly, firmly believe that if I would not – well, first of all, he wouldn't have stopped if he was in my house. Like, it would have kept going. And I firmly believe that he would have died. Like, that – like, I just – that's how I feel. Yeah. And, yeah, so he – It was real rough. It got real dark there for a while after I made him leave. And, yeah, hopefully things are on the upswing for him.
I hope so.
Because I just really want my kids to have the dad that they deserve.
Yeah.
And so I'm balancing all of the kids by myself and, really having to learn how to accept and ask for help, which has been so challenging for me. But
yeah,
I was working on that with my therapist like before. So it's so weird how like it's like the universe knows and puts people in like your path, and like everything is so interconnected and everything happened, like everything plays out the way it plays out for a reason. Like I feel like everything was prepping me for this moment. Because I was working on so many of the things that I struggle with that I need to utilize now in the fall. And I am balancing – so I'm balancing the kids. I'm balancing my own work, which, I mean, it's slow season, so I don't really have much work.
Still, mentally it's there, yes, you know.
Mentally it is there. I really need to do back-end stuff that I've, you know, was supposed to do in January, and now it's, what, April. And I'm balancing the shop and I'm balancing this and I'm, you know, trying.
And just like your own personal and my shit, own
personal
like,
stuff. Yeah. And yeah.
It's a lot. Do you feel like a weight has been lifted off your shoulders since you've been able to like talk about it,
though? Yes. Okay. So that was what I was also going to talk about. So I shared it when we were like leaving vacation and, I just took the kids to the West Side for a couple of days because they kept asking to go to the beach and we just needed to like.
Needed a break.
Yeah. We needed just like a mental reset to be out of our own four walls. And there's just something so healing about being by the water. And which is so funny because we literally live on Lake Erie, but it's different.
It is different.
It's different.
Aren't they? Are they all water signs?
They're all water signs. We can talk about that on our astrological episode.
I don't know why, like, for me, that just hit. I was
all
like, wait.
Five of them are water signs. So I – okay, so yeah, I don't owe this to anybody. So aside from the fact that, like, I want to be a resource for people that are struggling silently with this because it is so isolating and it does make you feel so alone and you don't know who is a safe person to turn to because it is met with so much judgment.
Yeah.
And, like – pity. I don't want anybody to pity me. Like, right. I don't want any to be like, oh my God, poor you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want that at all. So aside from like wanting to be that for somebody else, even one person, I also didn't really know how to broach this with like my kids' friends, parents, or just like people that I see enough that like eventually would be like, hey, where did your husband go? You know?
Right.
So it just – it felt like I couldn't be or even – like even showing up for like work stuff on social media, it didn't feel like I could show up authentically because it felt like this like elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And because I didn't want to like – I don't know. Like,
well, yeah, because what are you just going to like stop talking about him all of a sudden?
And pretend and, like he doesn't exist or like – yeah, I don't know. So I felt like I had to be like, hey, like, you know, this is what's going on.
And again, not because you owe anyone anything, but also,
no, it was strictly like a, I don't know how to function without sharing this information.
Well, and because, like, you've built such a connection with, like, your clients and stuff from, like, sharing your life.
Yeah.
And, like, building a connection that way with them. Yeah. So then to just, like, be like, oh, this doesn't exist anymore.
And people did know, like, people did know that he was sober and thought that he was doing well and would ask all the time, like, how's Zach doing? How's the shop doing? Like, all, like, they were invested, you know? And so, like, I don't know. It just felt like, it felt like this ever-looming thing. And my kids know. Like, my kids are aware. They know what's going on. I had, when the day that he left, I, like, sat them down and had an age-appropriate conversation with them. Like, they know daddy is sick. They know he's unwell. They know he needs to get better so that he can be a good daddy. Like, they know all of these things.
Yeah.
Because, like, I just pretend he doesn't come home for a long time. Like, they had to know. So they know all of these things. They know what addiction is. Because I don't believe in, like, I believe in age-appropriate honesty. So for not going to, like, tell them something else, and I don't want them to think that he's just not coming because he doesn't want to, or like they need to know. So my kids know, and I've encouraged them to talk about it with whoever they feel safe sharing with, because it's not, this isn't a dirty thing or like something that needs to be like hush hush or like, I don't want them, like, the society has like places so much shame on this, and I don't ever want them to feel, I don't want to set them up that way.
I want
them to be able to talk about it. I want them to be able to freely say his name. I want them to, you know, I don't want them to feel any shame or weirdness about talking about their dad. And so
you can just see, though, like, I know I'm not around your kids a ton and kids' emotions are all over the place, but you can just tell that the kids are, like, in such a good place. And that's all
I try. On you. I try really hard.
No, seriously. Because, like, this kind of stuff can, like, and I'm sure it will affect them somehow. Yeah. But, like, it can impact a kid negatively. Like,
yeah.
And they just seem, they seem so good still. And they, that's, like, yeah, that's so important that, like, clearly that's all on you. Like, making sure they're taken care of. And, like,
the biggest, like, the biggest benefit of the length of his relapse that was kind of shielded from me is that nothing really changed in their day to day, because I was already doing everything.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't able to be present. Even when he was home, he wasn't present in the way that, like, sober him is.
Right.
And so nothing in their day to day has really changed, because I was, like, it was always, like, me doing it.
And I'm sure that helps a lot.
Yes. And then I check in with them every day. Like, is there any feelings you want to share? Do you have any questions? Do you want to talk about anything? So that they always, like, they can, you can come to me always. Like, I'm always here to listen. I think that's been the hardest part, is, like, making sure that I'm navigating everything okay for them. Because I don't, like, they're going to come out of this with trauma, because it's just, like, that's life.
It's just life, yeah.
And I just want to, like, minimize the, like, I want to do everything I can to be proactive about it and minimize it as best I can. I want them to have healthy coping mechanisms. I want them to, like, I tell them all the time, like, you can't keep things in, because it makes your body sick. Like, you have to get it out. You got to talk about it. And, So again, I wanted to share because they know what's going on.
Yeah.
And I didn't want them to, like, I didn't want them to say something to someone and then have to explain it to that person in front of my kids.
Oh, yeah.
Or have, like, them mention it to their friends and then their parent come up to me and be like, they said dad wasn't home. Like, what's going on?
Right. Yeah.
I just wanted to kind of, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's no right way to handle this. And I'm sure for someone else it would be to have individual conversations. But that felt like putting my business out on social media just for everybody to consume was way less daunting for me than having to, like, check off personal conversations with 800 people.
But you're just sharing, like, the gist of it. That, like, what people need to know.
Right.
You know, like, it's not like you're sharing every, like,
no, personal
thing going on.
No.
And that's, people get the idea, and that's that, and they don't need to know anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure so many people, like, when it comes to kids, too, I feel like, would either lie or, like, you know, kind of keep it hush-hush, and, like, it's going to be so good for the kids that they're talking about it.
Well, and, like, I don't know. Like, it's addiction is a disease, but I also personally feel so strongly that it's also rooted in a lot of trauma and, like, lack of healthy coping mechanisms. It's more than just, like, a genetic component.
Yeah.
And there's, like – I forget the statistic, but there is a – there is a alarmingly horrifying statistic about kids of addicts and alcoholics, their, like, chance rate of also having a problem later in life. And I, like, want to combat that as best I can. Like, I don't ever want them to have to deal with this.
Yeah.
And it's – I guess it's a way to, like, attempt to control what I can control, and I can control – their ability to have a healthy, like, emotional health, I guess. Or I can try my damn best to.
Well, yeah, you do it. You're doing all that you can.
Yes. Yes. I don't want to leave, like, any stone unturned.
Yeah.
My big three are going to start therapy soon. Like,
which is also awesome.
Yeah. Which also, like, I got so much shit going
just
on.
Just add it to the list.
Add it to my list. But yeah, so the big three are going to start therapy soon, and they know that I'm in therapy, and, like, yeah.
But I also think that's, like, I mean, despite what's going on in their life, like, so healthy just for a kid to know at such a young age that, like, there's nothing wrong with going to therapy, and therapy's a good thing. And, like, because, I mean, now I feel like there's not such, I feel like people think about it differently. But, like, when I first went to therapy when I was 16, like, it was like, you're going to therapy. Like, what's wrong with you?
I was in therapy as a kid because my parents were divorced, and then my parents got back together, so I was still in therapy because it was, like, you know, big life change, but it was not, like, it was different, and I hated, I hated going.
Did I ever tell you about the first time I went? What happened? And why I didn't go to therapy for so long after? I think it was 16, maybe it was 18. And, I mean, I just dealt with, like, what I didn't know then was, like, crazy social anxiety, but, like, also depression in high school. And I don't even remember how I found, if, like, my mom found this therapist or whatever, but I was opening up to her about everything. I, like, knew I had to be open, share her every thought I've ever had. And at the end of it, she was like, so do you feel like you need to be here? And I was like, I don't know, isn't that your job to tell me?
Right?
Like, I was like, and of course, my social anxiety is kicking in.
Like, oh crap, was I not supposed to share all this information?
What did I do wrong?
Right.
And I can't remember exactly what she said, but she basically was like, I don't think you need to be in therapy, kind of thing. And I was like, after everything I just told you, and you kind of told me that I don't need to be here.
What the fuck? Maybe it's because you were so aware.
I was so young, and I'm like, you just, like, instilled so much fear in therapy in me.
Yeah.
Like, that was such a huge deal for me to, feel like I needed to go and talk to someone. I can't remember if, like, it was my mom who said I should go or if I wanted to go. But I went, and then to be like, okay, that's not for me. Therapy's not for me. And I can't remember the next time I went.
I hope that therapist.
I didn't go back until I was pregnant.
Still practicing.
God, I know.
Because literally therapy is for everyone.
Right?
Everyone. Everybody has shit.
Even if I feel like you haven't had, like, crazy trauma or anything in your life, like, just to talk about anything.
Yeah.
Like, everyone should be seeing
a therapist. It's so funny because when I first started going to therapy as an adult, my very first session with my last therapist was like, okay, I know your brief overview, but, like, let's dig into, like, your early childhood. Like, walk me through, like, the first few years of your life. Spent the whole hour, and I got up to, like, age 7, and she, like, her eyes were wide. She was like, we have a lot to work with in there, so I'm going to, like, cut you off. We're not even going to go into whatever. And I would never, ever, ever, like, think or say that I had like a traumatic childhood or that I've had a lot of trauma in my life. I've had a lot of change and I've had a lot of inconsistency and instability and like that, but I would never think like
that it's trauma.
Oh, I had a lot of trauma, but I did. Yeah. I had a lot of trauma.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, it's also not like, I think we as a society also to quantify trauma as like intense abuse
or just like a big,
really big things like the death of a parent or like all of these big scary things. Mm-hmm. And it isn't even that. It's like literally anything that affects you in a negative way, even if it's something that wasn't intended to be negative.
Right. But it sticks with you and it affects your life.
Uh-huh. It affects literally everything. And then you have to rewire all your pathways, which is what I'm doing right now in therapy. She's like literally like doing a lot of hard work with me. If you guys want to do hard, intense, true work, cannot recommend the therapist at Honey enough.
Oh my God, I want to do, I always forget what it's called.
EDMR.
Yes.
Zach did EDMR when he was in rehab last summer. And he said it was really wild. But, like, it was good.
Yeah.
It, like, yeah, you should do it.
My sister's I think so.
Your little sister or your bigger sister? Well, they're both little.
Yeah. My bigger little sister.
Okay. She feels older. Yeah. She feels older than you to me.
I know. She does. She's doing that, and she's doing equine therapy.
With horses?
Yeah. She's obsessed. She loves it.
You know what? Nellie keeps asking me, telling me she wants to go horseback riding. I wonder if she would like that.
You should. You should look into that.
I should.
I can ask I don't know exactly where my sister goes for that.
Because I think it's like supposed to be really calming for you, isn't it? Because you have to like be chill for the horse to like trust you or whatever.
Well, yeah, and I think she said that there's like multiple horses and you have to like find your connection like with
a horse. Oh my God, she would love that. Maybe we'll do that this summer. She would love that so much. I cannot add anything to my plate right now, but summer.
Yeah, summer would have more time.
Oh my God, I think she would love that.
Who was I just talking to about horses? On Easter with Jake's family. One of his cousins was talking about like wanting horses or whatever. And like, I want to go horseback riding with her. I've never done it.
Really?
But a family I used to nanny for, the girls rode horses. So I always got to like take care of the horses with them and stuff. And it was, the mom always talked about like a connection in the soul with the horse. And at first I was like, okay.
Oh, like, no, kind of weird. But like, right up my alley.
But it's so like the more and more I got to know the horses, like it is. Wild, like looking into their eyes, there's something, it's wild to me.
That's cool. I'm gonna Google it right now so that it's pulled up in my 100 I have hiccups tabs.
So I want to do equine therapy. I really just want to like lay on the ground and snuggle a horse. What?
I mean, that you can't spoon them.
Yeah, you can.
Do they lay down?
Okay, yes. And this is the family I nannied for. They had a horse.
Oh, no.
What? Okay, they had a horse and it would lay down and the little girl would literally lay on the ground with it, like on its belly. That's what I'm saying. That horse was like, there was like a soul in there.
No worry about being stomped.
No. That horse was a person. That horse was a person.
I'm sorry. My mom is texting me. She's like, no passy. And I'm like, oh, shit.
Uh-oh.
Because the passy was in the car seat. But Tallulah took it while we were driving. And I guess she didn't put it back in the car seat.
Is he pretty reliant on a passy?
Kind of.
Yeah.
She's like, do I need to go get one or will he be okay? Okay. Anyway. So I forgot what I was talking about.
I want to find a picture of this horse now and show you.
Okay, let me also say while I'm on this topic, I was trying to find books for the kids I was trying to find books for the kids and
like therapy books?
No, books? Like books about like having a parent with addiction.
Yeah.
And they're so few and far between. And the ones, they're also not great.
Yeah.
So that was annoying. Like I could only find a couple. Or there was some that maybe they were better, but they were like $40.
That's annoying.
It was so annoying.
Okay, so you're gonna write one.
Okay, so that I had that. I was like, I'll just write them a book myself. But then I like, okay, I don't even know how to do this.
I feel like don't people like hire someone to write a book for them?
I think so. And
then say they wrote it.
Yep, I think that's exactly what they do. So yeah, but yep.
Okay, kind of not to change the topic.
No, change
it. But kind of. Well, we don't have to like change it. But my sister, my youngest sister called me yesterday and I missed it. And then she texted in like our sibling group chat and she said, Lily from Princess Diaries comes into her work like often. And she finally realized who she was today, yesterday.
What?
And I'm like, is that why you called me?
Friend, right? It?
Yeah.
She lives here?
Right?
Why?
I know.
Oh my gosh. Has she ever been in anything else?
That was literally, I was going to ask you that.
Oh, I don't know. Let's look it up.
I'm like, I loved her. I don't even know, like.
I don't even know her name.
No.
Oh.
Lily from.
I put dog hair in my coffee.
You put it in your coffee?
I think it was on my, I don't know if I like brushed it.
Oh yeah, I mean it's probably just in the air.
Well, I mean that happens at my house too, but I just wasn't expecting it.
Heather Matarazzo. She's been in a Scream movie.
Scream? Like the scary movie?
Yeah, she's been in Hostel.
I don't know any of these.
It's another scary movie. It looks like. Oh my god, Axel's been sleeping in his bed. What was this, 3 nights in a row? So Jake sleeps with him. I know.
Oh my god, isn't that so nice?
It is. Besides that, now Lennon's deciding to sleep like shit again.
Oh,
because I'm okay, like, oh, I get funny. A king size bed to myself right now. Like, this is awesome. But so he sleeps through the night because when he was falling asleep in our bed. Like on the weekends, Jake and I would like sneak out of bed once Axel fell asleep and he'd be fine. So he's still been doing that like in Axel's bed. He's still sleeping, but Jake will go back in there because I'm like, it's still like new. I don't want him to wake up and like be scared of his room and like have to start over. But so Jake had to go back to work today. So he was probably out of there at like 4 a.m. or whatever. And he made it till 7 a.m.
That's
I heard him scream my name, but he wasn't like hyperventilating like I thought he would
That's
be.
That's awesome.
So we're on the right track.
Good.
But it's also kind of weird not having him in bed.
I'm sure. Lou. So Camilla and Bolt are in my bed. And obviously I have a bed to myself aside from these children.
Yeah.
But Tallulah still comes in my bed sometimes. And after... probably because like of the adjustment, but after Zach left, she was like coming into my bed every single night.
Yeah.
And I hate it.
Do they like have to sleep on you basically?
Well, Bolt sleeps in my arm because of his reflux. So I keep him like propped up.
Yeah.
And then Camilla sleeps on my other side. Well, then Lou comes into bed and she's like, well, I want to lay by you. Okay. Like I only have two sides, right. Like just lay. Uh-huh. And she doesn't want to lay on the end because she's scared of monsters. But, like, dude, there's, literally nowhere else for you to go. Like, yeah. I don't know what to tell you. So we finally got – so now 7 weeks in, she'll finally lay on the end. But she kicks – she wants to touch me with her feet. And then – so she's, like, laying sideways and then she kicks me all night long. And it's frustrating. And she also, like, once she comes – because they're upstairs. So once she gets all the way downstairs, she's, like, awake enough to, like, not just crash right back to sleep.
Yeah.
And so then she's tossing and turning for, like, an hour. And I'm like –
that's fun.
So annoying. But she slept in her bed last night, so that was good. Sometimes she comes in at like 4. Sometimes she makes it to like 5:30 and then she's just up for the day. Sometimes she comes in at 2. But then sometimes she's in there before I even go to bed and it's like.
That's all. Lennon was up at 12:30 last night. And then I just brought her in bed and she did sleep. But she like. She was crying mama in her sleep for like a half hour. Like her eyes were closed. She'd be like, mama, mama. And like reach for me. And I'm like, I'm right here. But she was doing – now I wonder if she's getting her 2-year molars.
Those are bitches.
And literally like she started sleeping better and then that I remember Axel's 2 year molars were like the only teeth for him that like
Beckham's him. I didn't even know came in. Beckham got his at 18 months. No, 16 months.
Jeez.
16, 17. He got all four at the same time. And he got them. It was like when Nelly was brand new.
Yeah.
So I was up constantly with her. Yeah. And he was up constantly. And I thought it was just like the transition, like, you know, brand new sibling.
He's like, no, just getting
four. And then
four molars.
Well, then he was like getting close to two, and I was like, I don't think he's got his molars yet, guys. Like, yeah. Talking to my mom about it, and like, he doesn't seem like he's teething. And so I like stick my finger in his mouth, and I'm like, yeah, like, there's nothing there. And then my mom like stuck her finger in her mouth. She goes, Paige, they're already all the way in. And I'm like, oh. And she was like, there wasn't a time when he was like crying a lot or yeah. whatever. And I was like, yeah. Yeah, way back yeah. then. And now I feel bad because I didn't even like give him Tylenol or Motrin or anything because I didn't know.
Yeah. That's the hard part about teething though. Like if you're not like checking, you don't know.
Right.
And they can't tell you.
No. No.
Can you imagine like if we like as adults well, we just get new teeth?
Like, I it probably ask them hurts so when bad. Their new teeth like come down if it hurts.
Yeah.
And they don't really well, yeah, I complain guess, like, about yeah. it.
Yeah, I never thought about that. You kind of remember that a little more when you're
yeah, because Nelly has, oh my God, her front teeth are so big. It's going to be fine as an adult, but her front teeth are huge. And she has, one is like halfway down finally because she didn't have front teeth for, she lost them on Christmas 2022. Lost her, both of her like front teeth within like a month of each other at Christmas time. So they were missing for a full year. Yeah.
Is that normal?
I don't know. But, like, she's going to look so weird with teeth now because she's been right. missing them for so long.
That's funny.
Yeah. But her one front tooth finally came in after she lost this one, like the one next to it.
Yeah.
Because they're so big, it's taken up both those faces.
Yeah.
But, so Zach and all of his siblings are missing this tooth. And so they have their pointy teeth, like, shaved down and then brought forward. And
– wait. I'm sorry. What? Say that again?
Zach and all his siblings are missing these teeth.
On both sides?
Uh-huh. On their top. So they have their –
they're like canines.
Shaved down so they're flat and then just brought forward.
So do they have canines?
I mean, yeah, but they're not pointy. Like, they're
– don't you flat. Need pointy ones?
I don't know. They don't have them. All four of them have straight across teeth all the way across.
Mine probably aren't pointy because, like, grind them down.
Yeah, you're not. I mean, they're, like, I can tell that they were, but, like, they're all. Okay,
I'm pretty eventually going to have teeth like this.
But, so, my nieces, my one niece is, like, missing some. Hers came in, like, in, like, weird order, which I guess can be,
yeah,
like, an indicator that you're missing some. Like, her first tooth was her very, like, one of her front teeth. Not her bottom ones. She does have her bottom ones, but they just came in out of order. So anyway, she's missing some baby teeth.
Yeah.
But she has all of her adult teeth. And I was like, I hope my kids might have my teeth so they're not missing any. My kids had all the baby teeth. Well, now Beckham and Nelly are old. And we've had x-rays done of their mouth, you know, at the dentist.
Yeah.
Nelly is missing these teeth.
Why? Like,
I don't know. They're just missing. Like, they she doesn't have the adult teeth. And then her and Beckham are both missing a molar.
How is
it? Same molar, it doesn't exist.
Is that a
genetic? I think it's genetic.
That's so weird.
Yeah. So that's probably why her tooth wasn't coming down because it doesn't have right. space, but it doesn't right. matter because she doesn't have that tooth anyway as an adult tooth. So now this other one is like bulging. So like it's got to be sore because it is like just – I can yeah. see the whole outline of the entire tooth through her gum because the tooth is just so freaking big. But that – that second tooth is still there on that side, so it's not. You gotta look at your teeth now.
I know teeth freak me out
because now that you're like, well, don't I have pointy teeth? You absolutely don't. Like they're totally like, I don't think mine are that pointy.
Yeah, yours don't look that pointy.
Camilla's these two are super pointy. That's like vampire teeth.
Axel's. I mean, I know he's gonna lose those, but his canines are yeah, really pointy.
Yeah,
I have to get them. Mouth guard.
You?
Mm-hmm. I like a bite right guard, now I'm sitting a here grinder? And like
oh
like clenching And at night, I used to wake people up from grinding my teeth so hard.
Teeth freak me
out, though. I know. I think I've been better about it. But I'll, like, I have TMJ, too, but it's probably because of that. But there's been times where, like, I wake up and I can't open my mouth.
You should get Botox in your jaw.
Am I going to sell you on my skincare right now?
No, but, like, that could be treatment for TMJ.
Really?
I've never even... Because it relaxes that
for, like, migraines.
Yeah, but it relaxes the muscle. My friend Kristen does it for her TMJ. It got really close. I didn't want to. Yeah,
it just looks funny.
But no, because it relaxes your jaw muscle.
Like, my jaw pops.
Yeah, I don't think that's normal.
No, it's not. Well, I have my first cavities, and I got like six. Never had a cavity until now.
As an adult?
Yeah.
Because being pregnant and your hormones can fuck your teeth.
You know what the dentist said it was?
Huh.
Because I asked about that. Because I was like, I've literally never had a cavity until I had kids. And she said it's actually normally from, like, the acid. Like, if you're acid reflux or throwing up and stuff, that's what's breaking down your teeth.
That makes sense.
And I was like, oh, yeah, I was throwing up a lot with both my kids. So that makes sense. She's like, yeah, people think it's like your babies are like taking your nutrients from your teeth or whatever. Oh, she's like, that's not what it is.
That makes sense.
And I was like, okay.
That sucks.
So, yeah. But so I had cavities filled and they're still hurting. And she's like, I think you're just grinding them down.
Oh, no.
She's like, so let's get a bite guard before we like refill those and see if that helps. And I was like, oh
my God. That's traumatic.
Teeth freak me out, though. That's weird that, like, aren't you born with teeth?
Yeah.
Like, they're just there.
Yeah. My sister-in-law, my younger sister-in-law, is a respiratory therapist, and she works with, like, babies and stuff, like, in the NICU and whatever. And
we need our poofs.
I know. She was telling me at Christmas time, I think, that she had a baby born with some, like, born with teeth.
Out of the gums?
Out of the gums. Teeth. Like, fully grown, formed teeth. Like, I think like four on the bottom or something.
I'd be so freaked out.
But yeah, baby was born with teeth.
Have you seen those pictures where people photoshop them? That's just what I'm imagining.
Yes. Okay. Well, mental health, my life drama, and teeth today.
Get your teeth cleaned.
Get your teeth cleaned. I'm overdue.
I've actually been really good about it for past couple years.
I
definitely went a long time
without forgot. I just like forgot about my appointment. I didn't remember until they called me and were like, you have a $25 cancellation fee because you didn't show up to your appointment. And I'm like,
oh my God.
Thanks.
You want to know something funny? So Jake hates going to the dentist, as many people do. But so he makes his appointments and then ends up canceling them the day of. He's like, I don't want to go today. I don't feel like it. I'm like, okay, well, you can't keep doing that. So he was supposed to go, we were supposed to go the same day, and he called in the morning and canceled, and they're like, so we talked to the doctor, and we just think maybe you should just schedule your appointment like the day of, so you can avoid your cancellation fees. He's like, so I think I'm on the naughty list at the dentist. I'm like,
probably.
Like, you're messing up their schedule. Yeah. You can't keep canceling. Oh. And if you do it that often that they're noticing.
I'm surprised they didn't fire him.
I know. And I was, like, in my head preparing myself. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going today, and Jake canceled, so they're going to ask, like, what's going on with Jake?
He's scared.
Oh, this big dude.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Did I share enough about my life?
Do you feel like you did?
I don't know. It went from mental health to, like, here's what's going on. So is there anything else I should share, since it's apparently here's what's going on in Paige's life episode?
I don't know. I feel like you shared a lot.
Well, that's all, folks.
Go to therapy.
Find a therapist. Go to therapy.
Get your teeth cleaned.
Get your teeth cleaned. And it's fine if you co-sleep with your kids.
Seriously. Oh, maybe we should talk about that.
Yeah.
They won't. Like, mom shame.
Yes. That oh, that's a good episode. That's a good episode. We should do that.
All right.
We should also make a poll, like, what things have you been mom shamed for, so that we have more than just what we personally have been mom shamed for. Okay, I like it. Right. Sweet. All right. Well, do all of those things. Wash your face today.
Yes.
Have a great time. See you later.
Have a great day. Bye.